One of my favorite hymns, beautiful hymn. Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I've sure enjoyed this message of Stephen as he had to the Sanhedrin. It's so sad that they refused to listen, but that is everyone's choice. And the sad thing is that they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire because of that decision. Acts chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading with the 48th verse here. It says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers? Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witness laid down, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. I just plead, Lord, that the world as they are, that they will stop rejecting your precious name, that they will come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We all have family members here, parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, spouses, siblings. We all have folks that have ignored, have rejected the gospel. I just plead, Father, today that your Spirit will go with each one of us and will go forth. And as we speak to them as they're going through difficult times and trials and tribulations, that precious word will once and for all convict their heart. And they'll do the opposite of these folks. They will call upon you and weep and cry and fall upon their face for their sin and said, please, Lord, save me, and he will. Father, thank you for that precious gift of salvation. Guide and lead us now as we look through your precious word, and we just thank and praise you for the opportunity to have the truth in our hands. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we read from Jeremiah, and I would like for you to go back to Jeremiah with me. And we have one verse we read from verse 8 through 23 last week, but today we're just going to read out of the 6th chapter, the 8th verse, and then we're going to go from there to Isaiah and from there to 2 Chronicles. And so as we look now at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabitable. And again, we read from 8 through to 23 last week. But again, I'm going to read this. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Now we're going to go to Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 and through to 20. Isaiah said the same thing some 150 years before. And so Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Let's back up just a little bit here, and we'll start with 17. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's Isaiah chapter 1, and I began reading with the 17th verse down through verse 20. But look at verse 20 again. If ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That was spoken 150 years before Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what we read there, and if you've turned away from it, let me read again for you, because 150 years later, it is said, and again we read many verses, but the 8th verse, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. So from Isaiah, 150 years later, by the prophet Jeremiah, spoke those words. And now if we go to 2 Chronicles, which is 2 years later, 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, Second Chronicles chapter 36, we're going to read from verse 5 through verse 17. 2 Chronicles 36. So we have in Isaiah, the year 760 AD, 150 years later, at the year 612, we have Jeremiah the prophet speaking the same words. And now 2 years later, in 2 Chronicles, we have the same warning, only this time there's going to be action. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning to read with verse 5. Jehoiakim was 20, a little bit of history here. Jehoiakim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, bound him in fetters, and carried him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon, and put them in his temple at Babylon. Verse 8. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck, hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messenger, raising up betimes and sending before, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and they despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought unto them the king of Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maidens, or old men, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all unto his hand. What a sad story to go from Isaiah, the warning, to Jeremiah, the warning. And in Jeremiah, he said, the Chaldeans are going to come and they're going to pluck everything. There's going to be nothing left in the land if you don't repent. They refuse to repent. And 2 years later, we're reading here in 2 Chronicles the same thing that Jeremiah the prophet had said. And so we find, as we are coming through this message here, that Stephen is preaching to these people. These folks know these scripture verses. And as he speaks to them and calls them, as it says in verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. They knew the Word of God. The warning had come again, 760 A.D., 612 A.D., 610 A.D., as that warning just kept coming, and it wasn't just a warning. It materialized in 2 Chronicles, and they were taken into captivity. Now, let's turn, because once again, let's consider the timing here in Acts, not a long period of time. Stephen is preaching. Peter had preached a tremendous message at Pentecost, and now we have Stephen's wonderful message to the Sanhedrin. But the time that lapsed was not long. It was a short period of time. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Because something we need to recognize here, as we find now ourselves, we went from Isaiah to Jeremiah to 2 Chronicles. Now Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Something we need to recognize, and that is that as soon as the Lord Jesus left, as soon as they rejected, maybe the city was still in contact, in place, and maybe the temple was still standing, but it was a place of desolation. Now, the full desolation came in 70 A.D., this was 760 B.C., I'm sorry, 612 B.C., 610 B.C., before Christ. And now we're to after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here the Lord Jesus himself. And in Luke we find that he wept over Jerusalem. It broke his heart that they chose not to come by faith to him. And so how long, how much of the things that I've done as an old hen as it begins to storm or rain or a threat comes and that hen will lift herself up and those little chicks will come gathered underneath her and she'll protect those. And he says, I have called to you, I have protected you, I have cared for you, and you continued. And so what he's saying here in Matthew is, I'm leaving. And as soon as I leave, this place is going to be desolate. It's going to be, if the absence of Jesus, the world is desolate. You can make that statement anytime, and that's what's going to happen to this precious land that we live in. With the absence of God, with the absence of the Lord Jesus, we will be found to be desolate. And it's going to come, and it's going to come quickly if we don't find this nation as the nation, the land of Nineveh, as they repented and put on sackcloth and ashes and praised the Lord, repented of their sin. That's what this nation needs to do, or we're going to be found to be desolate as well. But this precious city of Jerusalem to the Lord Jesus and his people Israel have rejected him, and he's saying, I'm leaving. It's going to be left desolate because you will not believe. Now, these words were words, as we look at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Second Chronicles, and now we look at Matthew. And, of course, we've got the promise, and there's going to be a real regathering of the nation of Israel. And when that regathering comes, and they will, during the tribulation period, they're going to come in great numbers and be saved. That'll be a wonderful day. But isn't it so sad that from the year 33, and if Jesus would come this year, 2016, for 2,000, almost 2,000 years now, the Jews have rejected and they have went to hell because they have ignored and not called upon the Lord Jesus. All those generations have died without Jesus. Now, they could be saved. They could be saved individually. God set the nation aside. And there are many Jews that have repented and accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But it's very small in number in relationship to the number of the nation of Israel. These folks, the people here with the Sanhedrin that Stephen was speaking to, he spoke the word. They understood everything as he went through Abraham and Moses and the tabernacle and everything, coming into the promised land, building the temple, Solomon's temple, you know, that David wanted to build, and Solomon built the temple. All these things, these folks knew. But instead of them recognizing and saying, We've been wrong. This Jesus that we've just crucified, he's our Messiah. Instead of them turning and doing that, their heart was hardened all the more. Their heart was hardened all the more. I've only had one time in all the wonderful years that we've been here that I met with a person and we had a disagreement over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in having that disagreement, I showed the Word of God. And you know what the statement was when they read those precious scriptures concerning the precious blood of Jesus? I've never seen that before, but I don't believe it. Just exactly like the Sanhedrin. Stephen brought all that word to them. And instead of them repenting and turning, as again the city of Nineveh did, instead of that, why they got all the more angry. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He brought to light the Lord Jesus Christ to them. But you either come to the light or it becomes dark, very, very dark, to where you're so blinded you can't see. And that's what they chose. They chose the darkness instead of the light. The light was shown to them, but they rejected that light. And because of that, it turned into a wrath and an anger to them. And as we look at verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They could not stand that light. That light that Stephen was proclaiming to them, they couldn't stand it. And as back in Isaiah, the word was proclaimed. In Jeremiah, the word was repeated. And in 2 Chronicles, it was repeated and carried out. They were taken into bondage but every time there was an opportunity of repentance. There was an opportunity of repentance to these members of the Sanhedrin. All they had to do is fall upon their face. All they had to do was say, "Please, God, I'm so sorry. We have missed you. Yes, this is the Messiah. You are the Jesus is the Messiah, the one we've crucified. Is there any hope for us?" And Stephen's statement would have been, "Yes, just come." That's all they needed to do. But instead of that, it angered them. And notice where it cut the deepest, right into their heart. Well, they have filled their heart with everything except for the love of God. They have filled their heart with all the thoughts of religion and the teachings and traditions that they have learned. They have filled their heart with all those evil things of the world. They filled their heart with religion. And they needed to fill their heart with Jesus. How many folks do we know today that have filled their heart with religion? And you speak of the truth. You speak of the saving power of Jesus Christ. And they don't want to hear it. They reject it. They're more pleased with going along with their way, and as these men were. Verse 55, "But he, Stephen, being filled with the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." You know, it's so important that when we give the truth out, that we don't look to the reaction of men, and then all of a sudden we kind of bow down or we run, because all of a sudden they've rejected what I've said, and we put our head down and run. Stephen didn't do that. He saw the countenance of these people. He heard their shouts and their anger. And all he did was look heavenward. He knew the one that had given him the power to speak, and he was going to acknowledge the one that gave him the power to speak. And that was his God. And he acknowledged him. It doesn't give us any appearance that he had any fear for his life at this point. None whatsoever. Because he had a message to give, and he gave it. And we need to do the same. When someone rejects the Word of God, we need to look heavenward and say, "Lord, please, give me the strength to continue." And don't be affected by that. So often when someone rejects what we have to say with the gospel, then we just kind of quiet ourselves down and don't speak and don't say anything. We don't want to offend somebody. Well, let's kind of get this thing in its perspective. You don't want to offend them, but you don't mind that they go to hell and burn in the lake of fire forever? Because you got your feelings hurt? Stephen didn't get his feelings hurt here. Stephen was, I'm sure his heart was broken that they were rejecting the word of God. They weren't rejecting Stephen's word. They were rejecting the word of God. And that's what we need to remember when we're talking to our family members and the folks that do not want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear the truth. We need to speak it with the love of God as Stephen did. But I'll tell you what, Stephen got to the point because the Lord showed Stephen very clearly that these were enemies of the cross. That doesn't mean they didn't have the opportunity of salvation. And so, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand. Stephen made a good choice. In the end of verse 55, looked up steadfastly in the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. It's the only time in the reference of the scripture that he's standing there. Why don't that happen today under, you know, missionaries with persecution and are there facing death? Do they look up and see the heavens open? No, again, we've spoken many times. There's a transition period between, I believe, what is taking place here and what takes place now. We have the Word of God. We have it in its completeness, its fullness. And so we can enjoy the presence of God in our heart. We can look heavenward. And by faith, we see Jesus. But he was standing there, and I think this is the first martyr that's listed in the Word of God. And I think God was acknowledging, Jesus was acknowledging that. I think Jesus was also acknowledging his willingness to give the light and not surrender. And he's saying, you just come on home. You just come on home. Now, again, verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They needed to be in one accord, but not the enemies of the cross, but in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross that he died on. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes, their coats, their cloaks, at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, we're just beginning to hear about this young man. There's going to be a lot to be found about him. And so, but isn't that something that, why did they do that? Well, they did that so that they could be more effective with the stones they were throwing. Let's get this coat off so I can throw that with more power. I've been cutting wood and working outside, and boy, there was one day I had so many clothes on that if I'd have fallen down, why, Susan had to come pick me up. I couldn't have got up, and I was bound with my shoulders and everything else, and they didn't want to be bound. They wanted to have all the strength they had to put this man to death. And we're going to do it. And so they shed their coats and they handed them to this man, Saul, and he held on to them. And they stoned Stephen, calling, and as Stephen called upon God, and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Oh, Stephen was ready to come home. He had done the work that he was sent to do. He proclaimed that word clearly, and he kneeled down. He called upon God first, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But the second time in verse 60, he cried with a loud voice. And when he cried, what did he say? Yes, it's unbelievable. Lay not this sin to their charge. I don't believe that Stephen would have had the strength to do it if he hadn't have looked heavenward and saw the Lord Jesus standing. And he knew that there was still an opportunity for them to be saved. And he was saying, please, please, save them. Don't put this against them. What a strength. What a faith this man had. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, as a believer, and we have this many times, that a believer just falls asleep. And that word sleep, there's rest. And we go into the hands of the Lord immediately and to to have the perfect rest that He offers us. What a joy to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have this rest. Now, those that do not know the Lord Jesus, they're dead. They died, and you know, we have with Lazarus that the angels come and carried him home, gave him rest. But for those wicked, those that choose not to come by faith to Jesus, they hang on to their own faith, their own words, their own religion, and they're going to wake up and they're going to their eyes are going to open up when they get into the place of torment in the center of the earth, and the fires and the heat and the torment, and it's going to be forever, forever. And I believe that as you look at you know, every time you go to a funeral service and somebody has had a lot of pain and suffering the last days or even years of their life, and the first thing the preacher says, the liberal preacher stands up there and says, "Oh, they're in a better place." No, they're not. No, they're not. And the suffering that they had here, it's going to continue forever. Forever. Please. We've got a message to take. Stephen didn't yield, even as they took him out and stoned him to death. He gave the message. They will be held accountable. He says, "Lay not this sin to their charge," but God does have a perfect record of the saved and the lost alike. And they will be held accountable, not for the killing of Stephen, but for unbelief. For hearing so much truth and rejecting it. The penalty of that will be much worse than the death of Stephen as they put him to death. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this precious message. It's taken us many weeks to enjoy this study. All the verses of Scripture that I've enjoyed looking up and studying and bringing part of them to the church, and part of them just was for my enjoyment and my pleasure. But see, dear Father, please, that we be Stephens. We stand up and we speak your word. And when your word is rejected, that we don't get our feelings hurt. It doesn't silence us. Many times we just need to dust our feet off and go on to the next. But don't let it stop us from telling the truth. The time is so short. Lord, we know that you're coming soon. And we've got a lot of folks that we know and love that have rejected you. They've gotten stuck into religion, or they just don't believe anything at all. Let's take this precious message, this light to them, that Jesus died on the cross to save them. He is our Messiah. Please believe and trust in him today. Father, speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.